Coming to you from our studios in Dallas, Texas, and recorded live, Science News is on the air right now.
This is the promise of tomorrow, where people and industry keep up with the business of emerging and nanotechnologies. The fields covered in this series of programs will include energy, defense, aerospace, medicine, semiconductors, and more. For the next hour, Colonel Mason will introduce his experts, and you'll be on the cutting edge of the promise of tomorrow.
And it's really good to have you back again with us as we explore the exciting world of the business of emerging science, nanotechnology, open innovation. This particular program is going to be all about nanotechnology. We're going to have as our guest Jim Morris. He's professor of electrical and computer engineering at Portland State University. That's Portland, Oregon. And he is going to tell us about what's going on with the IEEE 11th International Conference on Nanotechnology, April 15th through the 18th in Portland, Oregon, at the Portland Marriott Downtown Hotel. It's the flagship IEEE Conference on Nanotechnology, moves all around the world. This year, of course, it's going to be in Portland, and he's going to come on with a whole bunch of updates and what's exactly happening with that particular program. And, of course, our lead story is the mysterious leaving from the National Nanotech Coordinating Office of Dr. Clayton Teague. I mean, that was really came as a big surprise to a lot of people. He speaks to Congress on what's going on with nanotechnology in his organization, and a day later he steps down. And it's a surprise. I mean, it may not have been a surprise to him or to other people, but it was a surprise to enough people that his replacement hasn't been chosen yet. So it must have come pretty quick. And they waited a full 10 days before putting out a press release saying that he was leaving. So we had to get to the bottom of it and find out if the office is still viable, if it's going into mothballs or what's happening. So we're going to have the latest information on that. And, of course, we're going to visit the Den of Strangers, get more wisdom from somebody a lot of us never heard of. And today we're going to go back into Greek antiquity. Somehow, our producers managed to get a recording of Pericles. I don't know how they did that, but you can listen towards the end of the first half hour and judge that for yourself. Visit our fountain of useless information we have here on the set in the second half of the program. And, of course, at the end of the program, listener comments are the voice of reason. But before we get to our lead story, we're going to step over here into our very busy newsroom and see what's happening in the rest of the world. The announcement has been made, incidentally, is brand new information on the 11th Annual International Conference on Nanotechnology. It's going to be in Portland, Oregon in August. The American Academy for the Advancement of Science is going to be an exhibitor at that conference, and that's new information highlighting their science and technology fellowship program. The rest of the news we have today seems to be coming mostly out of the UK, and it has to do with something we talk about in this program all the time: renewable energy, the green revolution, what is happening with climate change. David Merlin Jones of the Sunday Times reports that the current set of green policies, whereby levies and taxes are used to punish the greatest energy users like the chemical sector, are going to prove to be economic suicide in the UK. He says that if the government continues to simply add one energy or carbon reduction levy after another on the energy-intensive sectors, and this is a quote, then the risk is that these industries will no longer be able to compete internationally and will simply cease to operate in the UK. This week's carbon budget commits the UK to cutting in half the emissions of carbon dioxide by 2025. David Rose of the Mail says it's likely to drive much of British industry abroad to countries including the United States, China, India, Japan, everywhere else in Europe, which have made no binding CO2 commitments, and where energy will thus remain much cheaper. And we expect that's going to be the way in the United States, because the CO2 legislation that passed the House nearly 2 years ago now has been stalled in the Senate, and it looks like that is not going to go anywhere. Fiona Harvey of The Guardian reports that the UK's government environmental policy, whereby millions of households there are to be fitted with energy-saving technology, is likely to be rejected by homeowners in Britain because of its high cost, saying that householders' bills are likely to be so high there that there'll not be enough of incentives to energy refurbish a home. Roger Harabin of the BBC News reports that things may not be so dire there after all, that although David Cameron has moved to resolve a cabinet row over the UK's climate change targets with an agreement on emissions, that ministers, worried about the impact on the economy and burdens on industry, have secured a get-out clause, an escape clause. The targets are going to be reviewed if European nations backslide on their own climate commitments. All right, now on to our lead story. Mysteriously, on the 15th of April, Dr. Clayton Teague stepped down as director of the National Nanotechnology Coordination Office, the NNCO, in Washington, D.C. And this is quite a surprise, and equally mysterious because only the day before, Dr. Teague had testified before Congress on nanotechnology and what that office was doing. And then the following day, he steps down. Well, this must have surprised a lot of people because so far, he hasn't been replaced. The deputy, Sally Tinkle, is now in charge of the office, but they haven't brought in anybody as director. Well, if they knew he was going to step down, you would have thought there would have been a search for director, for some time before. Also, they waited 10 days before putting out a press release, a full 10 days after Dr. Teague left before putting out the press release. And where they put it out, we don't know, because everybody I talked to, everybody I know, thought he was still director of the NNCO and was surprised to learn that he had stepped down. And he brought enthusiasm and expertise. I mean, this is an important post. Dr. Teague led the NNCO through a large part of its first decade. He paved the way for the National Nanotechnology Initiative to become among the most effective and respected federal interagency programs. And Dr. Teague's tenure as director, I mean, he oversaw the development of the first three NNI strategic plans, seven NNI supplements to the president's annual budget, as well as the planning, conducting, and reporting at a host of workshops. I mean, this is a big deal. So we kind of scrambled trying to find out what happened. I placed several calls into Dr. Teague and couldn't raise him. And, of course, it's a holiday weekend, so he's probably out enjoying himself. And so we frantically tried to get a hold of Jeff Holdridge. He's the chief of staff, and Jeff's on vacation, but he was kind enough to return our phone calls after we left a message on his cell phone. And he, of course, was wondering what all the excitement was about, and so I kind of explained to him. And he did a pretty good job of clearing things up. We're still going to try to get a hold of Dr. Teague, and maybe we'll have his comments for you next week when we return to the airwaves. And we're also trying to reach Sally Tinkle, the deputy director, the National Nanotech Coordinating Office. But for now, here's Jeff Holdridge. Clayton is scheduled to speak at a nanotechnology event that is sponsored by the IEEE Oregon section. And the event's going to be held in Portland in August. And he's scheduled to be a keynote speaker as director of NNCO, so...
he's still available and would be happy to do the event. He committed himself to it. Looking for him for his technical background or for his position as NNCO director?
Well, of course, I'm a reporter, and I'm covering the event, and so I wanted to speak with him in his position as executive director of NNCO. And then when I heard that he wasn't executive director any longer, then I tried to do a search of NNCO, and the websites that were coming up were taking me nowhere. And I wondered if when he left as director, if NNCO was going into mothballs, because I wasn't able to find anything good about it.
No, that's why one of the reasons I wanted to call you back from my vacation here and straighten you out on that.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Live and well. So the official website for the NNI is nano.gov, nano.gov.
Okay.
And we do list our current staff there. The senior ranking person in the office there now is Sally Tinkle. Her official title is deputy director. And the office is alive and well, thank you.
Okay, well, I really do appreciate that.
We miss him terribly. He was the director for 8 years, and so his name almost became synonymous with NNCO. But there's a staff of about 10 people who are hard at work helping to coordinate the National Nanotechnology Initiative every day. So
I'm just a reporter, and so I needed to follow up what was going on with this, with his leaving, and nobody at the IEEE office seemed to know that he had left. So that was a big shock. He's still at the website as being a director.
There was a press release that we issued. It's on the front page of the nano.gov website. It was announced to all the government people, but I've been learning that the word is not getting around. So his last day as director was April 15th. The day after he testified before Congress. So, anyway, he's been gone for a little while now, but he's still working at NIST as a guest scientist. And
all right, good. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I really, Jeff, I can't tell you, I really appreciate you returning my phone call. And I'm sorry that if I interrupted your vacation. If you were heading to the beach, would you say in North Carolina?
For Cook Island.
Wonderful. Well, that's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful area down there. I lived I was there many times myself. I went to college in North Carolina.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, yeah, it's a beautiful place. We come here for vacations. I'm from Maryland. To you. I'm glad we connected.
Thanks so much, Jeff. I really appreciate you returning my phone call.
Sure. Have a great holiday weekend.
You too. Bye-bye. Well, of course, if you listen to the program regularly, you know that one of our favorite subjects is nanotechnology. And we've been speaking about the 11th International Conference on Nanotechnology taking place August 15th through the 18th in Portland, Oregon. We're lucky to have today one of the organizers, in fact, is one of the principal organizers with the conference. Jim Morris is professor of electrical and computer engineering at Portland State University. That's Portland, such as in Oregon, not in Maine. We recorded Dr. Morris for today's broadcast just a few days ago. And what is interesting is that we didn't know that Clayton Teague is no longer director of the National Nanotech Coordinating Office in Washington, D.C. And we speak as though he is, and although he is still coming to speak, you'll hear us talk about him as though he's director, but he is not, of course. He's retired from that office. And we're happy to have Jim with us. Welcome to the program, Jim.
Thank you very much.
Well, now, this is generating a lot of excitement because I understand that the nanotechnology event moves around the world a lot. And last year, it was somewhere overseas. Maybe you can fill us in on that. And this year, you're having it in Portland, Oregon. Could you explain a little bit about the history of the conference?
Well, working backwards, last year's was in Seoul, Korea, and was the largest that in the series at that point. The year before that, it was in Genoa in Italy, and before that, back here in the United States in Arlington, Texas. And so it does move around the world amongst the three continents. Probably most of them have been in the United States over the 10 previous years.
Okay, this is the first time for Portland, though, I understand. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, it's been on the West Coast once before in San Francisco, and I can't remember the year offhand, 2003, I think.
Now, do you get better reception stateside or in places like Korea or Italy or those other places? I mean, how is it received around the world?
Well, as I say, Korea was the biggest one, but that's because it was in conjunction with Nano Korea, which is an annual event there. And heavily supported by the Korean electronics industry. Mm-hmm. And so they had about 1,000 attendees with, I believe, 326 papers. I did my count on the proceedings. I believe it was 326.
Well, the reason I ask is because the nanotechnology event in Japan, Nanotech Japan, is a pretty sensational event, and it goes on every year and has been a partner with some of the nanotechnology events in this country, but the events in this country never seem to be able to hold a candle to the enormous event that goes on in Japan. Have you been to the Japanese show?
No, I haven't. And, in fact, there are larger commercial events in the United States, for example. This is, as an IEEE conference, is a research conference. And we do have an associated exhibition, technical exhibition, But it's not primarily the technical exhibition as some of those other shows are. So, for example, Nano Korea would be primarily an industrial event, whereas the IEEE conference that was associated with it would be the traditional research papers. And so they're a good match going together, but you get some conferences are primarily one and some are primarily the other.
Well, before we get into all the wonderful things that are going on in Portland at this particular conference, where is it going to be next year, and then when do you think it will be back in the States?
My understanding is that the location for next year has not been formally announced. I think it's, well, given that it's not formally announced, I can say that it was the two locations under consideration were France and England. And so I don't know what the final decision was on that. And then I believe it is coming back to the United States the year after. But again, I do not know the location.
Well, France and England are both excellent locations because there's a great deal of activity in nanotechnology in both those areas. So I can see why that would be a good choice. But now let's get on to what's going on in Portland in the middle of August. What are some of the highlights of the event? Why would somebody want to attend the conference or maybe even exhibitor sponsor? Tell us some of the highlights.
Well, the first thing, of course, is the technical program, and we are planning 60 oral sessions of 5 papers each, so that's 300 oral papers spread across the entire range of nanotechnology. We also have 3-day-long poster sessions. At the moment, we have about 180 papers scheduled for the poster sessions. In addition to that, we have 6 keynote addresses, and I believe you had one of the keynote speakers already speaking in your radio interview series.
Absolutely,
here,
yes.
Alex Ballenden.
Mm-hmm.
And we are planning a couple of evening workshops as well, and of course there is the traditional tutorials associated with such a conference, which run on the first day before the technical sessions get underway. The other thing that's a feature, you did identify that the conference itself runs from the 15th to the 18th, but on the Friday, the 19th, we also have a morning workshop, which is sponsored by ONAMI, which stands for the Oregon Nanoscience and Microtechnology Institute, and that workshop will focus on commercialization. We also have a commercialization session in the conference, and this is a new direction. The conference as an IEEE, which is an engineering conference, is essentially, well, is mainly on the applied nanotechnology side, even though it's still a research conference. But nanotechnology is moving into commercialization, and so we've tried to introduce a little bit more commercialization emphasis in the whole technical proceedings. And so, as I say, we have one session in that regard. We have the workshop, but also 3 of the, well, actually, come to think of it, actually, probably 5 of the 6 keynotes are really dealing with commercialization one way or another.
Wow.
3 of them are from representative Oregon companies involved in nanotechnology. Intel, of course, is well known to everyone and is the obvious one. FEI is a manufacturer of high resolution microscopes and like equipment, and Life Technologies is on the bio side of the nanotechnology field as well. In addition to that, we have a federal speaker, Clayton Teague, who will deal with both commercialization and also some consideration in that of environmental aspects. And the other one is Alan Calieras from SUNY Albany, where, you know, we talk about the Albany miracle. There is a major operation here, which I think everyone will be particularly interested to hear about. And there will be a mixture of the research accomplishments there, but also what they're doing in the commercialization area. So I guess that's the commercialization message. And, of course, this will be backed up by the technical exhibition as well.
Well, yeah, you mentioned about Albany and the Albany miracle. It's interesting with the problems that Japan has had lately with the tsunami and the nuclear meltdown and that sort of thing. A major nanotechnology event is being held at the very last minute. In fact, I think it's probably been held already in Albany in the middle of May. So I think it's over with by now. But yeah, that's interesting. And Clayton Teague, you had mentioned, he's the director of the National Nanotechnology Coordination Office. That's a major speaker. I think that he's going to be quite a draw for you. Do you know the subject of what he's going to speak on?
We haven't talked in detail, but in the initial conversation, I was originally thinking, in fact, had been pointed to him as an expert on environmental issues, mm-hmm. which is something that I think has been neglected a bit by the nanotechnology community in the past, as you know, we view ourselves as scientists and engineers, and that is becoming more of, well, it's not becoming more of an issue. The scientific and research community is recognizing it more as an area that we all need to keep our eye on. So my initial interest or initiative was to have a speaker in that area, and Clayton indicated that he also really wanted to talk about the federal efforts towards commercialization, and so that fitted in with the overall plan. So I'm hoping that he will split his time between those two areas of presentation.
Well, the environmental issue, of course, really came to the fore a year ago when there were the deaths in China of the women that were working in nanotechnology. That is, we covered that story pretty extensively over a couple of weeks' period of time, and it certainly points out that there has to be precautions taken when people are working in the field of nanotechnology. And then you mentioned commercialization, and I think that's key. That can't happen fast enough to suit a lot of people. The universities that are doing research in the area of nanotechnology have to get some of this research to the commercial markets, and of course there's a number of organizations that have been working diligently for years in making nanotechnology as commercial as possible. As a matter of fact, speaking of commercialization, Jim, we're going to have one of your speakers on next week, Robert Skip Rung. He's president and executive director of the Oregon Nanoscience and Microtechnologies Institute, and he provides funds for startup companies in Oregon that will employ people and also will be good enough to sustain over, you know, with private equity funds after the initial startup funds are given them. So he's going to be a guest on our next week's program, and you can look forward to hearing that. He's also running, I understand, a panel Friday morning of your conference. Well, right now we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we want to talk some more with you, Jim, about what's going on at the IEEE Nanotechnology Conference in August in Portland, Oregon. Okay, as we walk the break at the half hour, we're going to pause at the door of the Den of Strangers, where we keep locked away all of the wisdom of mankind. In the Den of Strangers, will we meet today? Well, I'll be. From out of the ancient past, the shadows of antiquity, it's Pericles.
We are happy in a form of government which cannot envy the laws of our neighbors. For it hath served as a model to others, but is original at Athens. And this our form, as committed not to the few, but to the whole body of the people, is called a democracy. And everyone is ready to sacrifice life in such a cause.